Acts chapter 6, verse number 1 is where we will be at tonight. I asked Brother Russ to sing last minute. I had to change some things around. Brother Russ is always willing to sing, and I love the willing spirit there. Thank Miss Christy. Miss Christy filled in all day for Miss Darla and did a great job this morning. And filled in for choir practice. Now, if you can fill in choir practice, you're making it through there. So, thank Miss Christy. She did a great job this morning. I'm excited. I'm just happy to have some people that can fill in and just do a great job. She is a great addition over there. I'm going to call that her piano over there. And she's claimed that as her own. And just excited to have someone that can jump in like that and on a whim. You ask her to do something, and she's on it. So, Acts chapter 6, hope you're there. Verse number 1 is where we are at. The Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Verse number 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the ability to be able to preach your word. God, may what is said and done tonight bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This account here in Acts chapter 6 is of, obviously it's of Stephen here, the majority of it, but it starts out and it talks about how the Grecians were murmuring against the Hebrews there, and they wanted some people to come and minister to their widows. They felt as if their widows were getting neglected, is kind of the way they put that there. And the 12, the Bible says the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. They called some people to them and they said, look, it's not, we don't have time to preach, to do all this stuff that we're doing, and go and do this as well. There's a lot to do. We've got a lot going on, and we're so busy. The 12 disciples, and they said, we need some people to be able to go and to serve these widows. And what they were doing was basically, you come to see that they were serving. The Bible says it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God. This is the disciples talking. It's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. So they said, we need some people that are going to come and can serve tables to some of these widows and to some of these people that need these tables served. And so they get together and they find that that's a good idea. And so they find seven men. There were some stipulations for these men. They had to be men full of faith, of the Holy Ghost, and different stipulations that they had. But they find seven men, and we find the seven men listed there in verse number 5. And they laid their hands on them and prayed. Then the Bible says in verse 7, and the word of God increased. It was able to increase because they had men, they had some people behind them that were able to do some things that the disciples said, look, we have so much going on. We can't stop our daily ministry and what we're doing in the Word of God and preaching and going and visiting and this and that. To be able to do this, we need some people that can step up and can make a difference. We find the most prominent of those men, we find in the last part of that chapter of chapter 6 there, verses 8 through 15, talk about the man of Stephen and how Stephen made an impact, but there were seven men. Many of us say today, well, you know, I can't really make a difference. I can't make as big of an impact as Pastor does because he's up there week after week. He's doing something. He's preaching to people. He makes a very big impact. He's able to speak to 200 people at a time. He's over the radio. He's on Facebook. He's going live. I can't make that big of an impact. I'd like to say otherwise because Stephen, who was a man full of faith, as the Bible says, made a difference for the Lord. But he was not preaching. He was not the prominent Peter was. He was not the man that was up every week sharing the gospel from the pulpit with a big crowd. You know what he was doing? He was serving tables. But we find Stephen made a difference for the Lord that some of us think is impossible to do. Someone said to me right before we left, it was last week, someone said, I can't remember who it was, but I was walking into the office and I said, and someone said, what do you do here? What is it that you do during the week? And I had to stop and I had to think because I'm like, how do I lay this out? You know, how do I share what I do? And I said, I do this, I do this. This is kind of my weekly, I kind of gave my weekly routine and I was explaining it. And he said, oh, so a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And I said, yeah, I guess that kind of sums it up a little bit. I do a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but I don't think of it that way. Stephen, in a way, can I put it this way? He did a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Not the stuff where every week he's in front of people sharing the gospel, giving a message from the Word of God. He was not the one where multitudes flocked to see what he was doing. No, he was a part of a group that was serving tables. He was a part of a group that didn't have the most fun job. Some of us here tonight would say, why am I the one that has to set up and tear down? Why am I the one that has to clean the auditorium with those bad vacuums? I know, I think we've got good vacuums now, but why am I the one that has to do that? Why am I the one that has to serve the food? Why am I the one that has to clean the kitchen when everything's done? Why do I have to put the coffee up? Stephen, that was his job. Stephen made a difference. It does not matter, listen here, it does not matter the role that you and I have. We can make a difference for the Lord. Tonight, I want to look at Stephen's life, and I want to break it down, and I won't be long, by the way. This morning, I got a little kickback here for the length of time I went. I'll make up for it tonight. You'll be home by 10 o'clock. Don't worry. But Stephen, I want to take a look at Stephen's life, and I want you to see how you and I, compared to Stephen, can make a difference. Because listen, the majority of us in this room are not up here on a Sunday morning, week after week after week, myself included, where we're sharing the gospel and making a difference in that way. But as we've seen through the Sunday night series of spiritual growth that Pastor has just gone through, we each have a role. We each have a duty. We each have something that we can give, and it may be serving tables as Stephen was, but no matter what that role is, you and I, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. So let's take a look at Stephen's life. The first thing I want you to notice is the acts of the Spirit in Stephen. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great..." What's that word?
Wonders.
The Bible says that Stephen, full of faith, did great wonders. I thought about this. I got thinking about why did the writer here, why did Luke use the word wonders? You ever stop and think of why certain words were used in the Bible? This was one of those. I stopped because Luke is writing about Stephen here, and he says that he did great wonders. So I stopped and I thought, what would make him use that kind of word? Imagine Luke for a second. Stephen is over here. He's doing his duty, serving tables, and he's doing what he's called to do. And Luke maybe is watching this, or he's hearing this being told to him, and whoever's telling him this is explaining how everything happened. But he's either watching or hearing this, and he's watching Stephen, and he uses the word wonders. And Stephen is over there doing what he says is wonders. You know what makes me think he used that word? It's because it was people were asking things. What's going on? What's different? What's different about what is going on? Why is this not just... You ever, Brother Joe, you ever have that person that waits your table at the restaurant and they are just as grumpy can get? Listen, I don't care. I always, always tip. Everywhere I go. And when I see that somebody is grumpy when they're waiting my table, you know what I try to do? I try to cheer them up a little bit. Try to make them a little bit more happy. Try to make them a little bit more cheerful, because, look, we don't know what people go through on a day-in, day-out basis. There are people that go through stuff that we couldn't even fathom. And so, you know, I try to make their day better. Sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does. You never know. But I try to make their day better. But they looked at Stephen, who's serving tables, and Luke is watching him. He says he did great wonders. You know what these people were probably thinking? What's different about our waiter? What's different about our guy that's serving our table? What's different about that guy over there? You ever have that guy at the restaurant who's just always smiling? He's got all those tables or those things, and he's just carrying all that food, and he's like really happy, got a smile on his face, loves his job. He's whistling like Brother Tom up here when he's giving the story. You ever see that person? They're like, what's different about them? The acts of the Spirit in Stephen was this. He did great wonders. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does anybody ask what's different about you? Does anybody ask what's different about your life? Look, we each have our different role. We each have our different way of what we do, a different thing that we may do to contribute to the work of Calvary Baptist Church. But what do people see about you? Do they see that there's something different? Does anybody ask questions about you? First thing he did was, the Bible says he did great wonders. But then I want you to look at what else he says. He says he did great wonders, and then he says, and miracles. Now you think, uh-oh, John, you're going to get into the faith healing, and you're going to get all that. No, no. You know what the Bible, the word here is used. I sat down with Pastor this week and kind of learned from him with this as well. It uses a word that has the, it comes from the word that means sign or mark. And where I derive that is this basically has the idea of doing something that people realize there's a divine power behind it. When you do something and there's people that realize, hey, look, there's something behind that person that is pushing him forward. It's a sign of something else. It's a mark of something else. And you know what? Does your life have a sign or a mark that is reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He did great wonders. People were like, what is different about you? But then they said, he did great miracles. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? What is it at your church, at your community, in your neighborhood, in your street? What is it that you're doing for the Lord? Because who was serving tables, he did great wonders. People wanted to know what was different. He did miracles. And then the Bible says, look at verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom. The wisdom. You know what the Bible says? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I say something? As you fill up on the Spirit, He fills you. If you're taking notes tonight, that'd be something to write down. As you fill up on the Spirit, He fills you. You want wisdom tonight? You want wisdom like Stephen? People looked at Stephen and they couldn't resist the wisdom that he had. You want some wisdom? Fill up on the Spirit. Look, the only way you and I are going to grow in the things of the Lord is if we get in His Word. We do what He wants us to do by opening this up and gleaning what He wants us to glean. The wisdom. This is a commandment. Be filled with the Spirit. Because as you fill up on the Spirit, He fills you. You have wisdom. You know what the Bible says? Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. But then I love this verse. The Bible says, Psalm 83, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Listen here. Open thy mouth wide. You know what the Bible says? And I will fill it. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Israel. Open your mouth wide. God says, I'll fill it. How much are you trying to glean from God? How much are you trying to get out of God? What are you doing to gain more wisdom? Because the Bible says God will give us wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. What are you doing to gain more wisdom? The Acts of the Spirit in Stephen, he did great wonders. People asked what was different about him. Is anybody asking what's different about you? Not that you dress funny. Not that your schedule's a little different. Does anybody ask what is different about you? What is different about you? So we see the acts of the Spirit in Stephen. But secondly, I want you to see this. Go to verse number 9. The Bible shows us all of the things that have happened and what Stephen did and the acts of the Spirit through Stephen. But then it goes to verse 9. I want you to see what happens here. The Bible says, verse 9, then, after verse 8, what was verse 8? Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then, there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians of them at Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. You know what the second point is? The attacks of the synagogues. The acts of the Spirit in Stephen, but then the attacks. Can I say something? Mark it down. The minute you start serving God, the attacks will start coming. Mark it down that the time that you start going full force for God and the time you start doing everything you can do for God and for His glory, you will start being attacked. It's proven. Stephen, the Bible says, he did great wonders and miracles. Things were happening. Things are going on. God is doing some things through Stephen. It's great. It's all good. But then the Bible starts off verse 9. Then. You know what happened? Stephen had some great things going for him. Stephen had God on his side. And they were pushing forward for the Lord. But then the attacks started coming. But where were these attacks from? The Bible says they were from the synagogue. You know what the sad part about this? What was the synagogue? The synagogue was where they taught the Jewish children the things of the Jewish culture and of the ways of the Jews. That's where they taught them. At this point in time, there were somewhere between 460 to 480 synagogues in the Jerusalem area at this time. The Bible mentions four. And the sad thing is this. These people were supposedly on Stephen's side. The attacks that Stephen was facing were from so-called fellow believers. Listen, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter where God's placed you, what role God has given you. It doesn't matter if it's serving tables, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning the auditorium, serving tables. God has put you there for a reason. And don't let any attack stop you. Don't let any attack, don't let any person that wants to throw your way and say, oh, God doesn't want you to clean table, doesn't want you to clean toilets. He doesn't want you to serve tables. You're doing dirty work. We don't read about Stephen quitting. We don't read about Stephen giving up. Don't give up. The attacks started coming for Stephen. The attacks really started coming hard. People that he thought that he could count on from the synagogues. But he didn't let it bother him. He kept on going for God. But who were these men? Look at verse 11. The Bible gives us the synagogues, and then he says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then verse 11, then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words. This word suborned, when I looked it up, has the idea of being very sneaky. The word is used stealthily. Being very sneaky. They had to sneak in. They had to tell some things about Stephen sneakily. Who else does the Bible describe as sneaky? Remember the Garden of Eden?
The devil.
Whenever you have to make a comparison of yourself to the devil, I'd beware. The Bible says that these men, they suborned men, very sneaky, very stealthily. They suborned men. Look, poor Stephen, man. Poor Stephen, he's out there surfing tables. They get these guys, hey, what's he doing over there? What's he doing? Why is everybody asking questions about him? Why are things going on? What's so different? He looks like he's full of faith and power from on high. What's different? Sneaky. But then I want you to notice what they said about him. They said, notice this in verse 11, they said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. I want you to catch this. They had to speak lies about him. They had to speak lies about him. If you're taking notes, I want you to, if you write this down, the Bible shows that these men were speaking lies about Stephen. And may it be in our life that if people are against us, our life is so above reproach that they have to speak lies against us. Whew. They couldn't find anything wrong with Stephen. There wasn't anything wrong. He was doing what God wanted him to do. He was pushing forward for God. He was serving tables. He was doing what he was asked to do. And these men, they were sneaky. And all they wanted to do was pull off what was going on and get rid of him. So they had to speak lies against him. Listen, if anybody's going to be against us, let them have to speak lies about us. May our life be so above reproach that no matter what is going on in our life, we are so above reproach that people have to speak lies. Stephen, a man full of faith and power. Man, this makes me just want to go on for the Lord because Stephen just pushed on for God. Man, we'll see the end of Stephen in a second, but I want you to just take note of the strength of Stephen here. I mean, going through attacks from people that you would be so-called on your side, Stephen is facing this. He's going through this. But doesn't this remind you of somebody else? Because Stephen is having lies said about him to all these people around him. And when I was reading this and I was thinking about lies being told about Stephen, you know what story got brought to my mind? Jesus. Remember when Jesus was brought before the council in Matthew chapter 26, 59, the Bible says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" Look, they had to tell lies about Jesus to get him out from what he was doing, to try and throw him out, to try and discredit him for what he was going to do. But Jesus was perfect. Doesn't matter how good we are. In fact, the better we are, the more we're doing for the Lord, the farther along we go for the Lord, the more the devil wants to attack. The more the synagogues, the world wants to just say, "What's wrong with you? Get you out of here. Why are you doing this?" Because the world just looked at Stephen and said, "Man, we got to find any way we can to get rid of you. To get rid of you. May it be that they have to speak lies about us." There will be attacks. Mark it down. There will be attacks. My uncle said at the wedding yesterday, he said, he was talking about storms in marriages and how storms will come. And he said to the bride and groom-to-be standing there at the altar, he said, "It's not of if storms will come, it's a matter of when storms will come." And can I say to you tonight, it's not a matter of if the devil attacks you, it's a matter of when the devil is going to attack you. It's a matter of when the devil is going to come into your life and say, no, I think you're doing too much for the Lord. I think you're making too big of a difference. No, I need to attack. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Are you going to be doing enough for the Lord that the devil even bothers to come by and attack you? May that be another test. So we've seen the acts of the Spirit in Stephen, and we've seen he's been attacked, the attacks of the synagogues. But then lastly, I want you to notice this. The effect of Stephen. What an effect did Stephen have? I want you to turn to verse 15. The Bible says, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Would you turn over to the next chapter, chapter number 7? Go to verse number 54. Number 54. This is what the Bible says. "When they heard these things," Stephen goes on for a little while explaining to this council how he did not speak blasphemous words. He explains, he basically goes through some of the Old Testament about what Moses did and what David did. And he goes through most of chapter 7 as in explaining, kind of defending himself in a way and saying, "Look, this is what I'm teaching. I'm not saying blasphemous words. This is what I'm saying." And then he says, "When they heard these things," talking about the council, "they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly," catch this, "into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord." Look, you know what? You know what the view from Stephen was? The effect that Stephen had? Here's his view. Stephen, they're gnashing their teeth. That's what the Bible says. They're all upset about what he just said to them. And here's Stephen. You ready? Stephen is standing there. And where is he looking? Straight up. The Bible says, "Behold, He being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly and saw the glory of the Lord. You know what was happening? People are talking bad about him. The council's all upset at him. They're gnashing their teeth. But Stephen's focus was up high. It was on God. And Stephen didn't let it bother him. Didn't let it get to him that all these people are against him and that this is going wrong in his life. Hey, look. Look, there's God. God, there you are. You're standing at the right hand of the throne of God. What's going on? Jesus was there just cheering him on. Jesus was there to be there for him. Stephen, going through all of this, picture this of you and I today. The devil's attacking us, man. Wow. We're getting hit left and right. There's attacks coming. We're like, where is God in all this? Stephen's focus was not here. It wasn't just on the sight of the world. It wasn't just on the sight of plain level. It wasn't just horizontal. His sight was straight up and vertical. And if you and I today can catch this, look, there's going to be attacks. There's going to be things that come in. If you're serving God, you're serving tables, you're cleaning toilets, you're preaching the word of God, there's going to be attacks. Don't look on the horizontal of things. You know where Stephen's eyes were? They were vertical. And Stephen didn't let it get to him because he was like, God, you're there. There you are. I see you. I see you in all your glory. I see what you're doing for me. I see what's going on. And one day you and I will see Jesus. We will see him. And one of the first things we'll do is give an account for everything that we've done. You and I will give an account for every person we've shared the gospel with, every person that we've walked by and haven't even given them a tract, every waitress or waiter that's been upset or down and we haven't tried to share the gospel with them, all the neighbors that we've had that we haven't brought to church or invited to church, we're going to give an account. But may it be when we see Jesus, Stephen, man, he was just looking straight at Jesus and he said, hey, there may be all this stuff going on around me, but God, my focus is right on you. My focus is right on you. God will always be watching. He's always watching. That was the view from Stephen, but then the view of the synagogue, verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, catch this. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The world watched Stephen as he was stoned. They watched him as people were throwing rocks at him. And you know his last words were, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. There, can I say this? There is always somebody watching you. No matter what stage of life you're in, there is always somebody watching you. The world is watching Stephen get attacked, get rocks thrown at him. But he kept his peace. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I want you to catch what C.H. Spurgeon said. C.H. Spurgeon said, a man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine, catch this, if his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching. When your words don't match your actions, people are going to take your actions rather than your words. And Stephen, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Man, my flesh, if people are throwing rocks at me, my flesh would be to grab them right back and throw them right back. Just being honest with you. I'd be so upset. Man, all I was trying to do was preach the gospel. All I was trying to do was serve tables for these ladies. All I was trying to do was what God wanted me to do. And they're stoning him. But the world was watching. The world's watching. The world's watching you. They want to know how you're going to react when storms and things come into your life. When attacks start coming, they want to know how you're going to react. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. But then the last thing I want you to see is the view from Saul. So we've seen the view from Stephen. He saw God, the glory of God. Then we saw the view from the world. But I want you to catch this. Verse number 58, and I'll end with this. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Talking about Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Oh. You know what this tells us? Saul was there the whole time. Saul watched all of this take place. What did Saul's name later get changed to? Who made one of the biggest impacts on this side of the world for God? Paul. There's no biblical proof to this. I can just picture this, though. You ready? Stephen's getting stoned. People are throwing stones at Stephen. He's being attacked from people that maybe he thought were on his side, people that love the Lord. He's being attacked. Guess what? Saul's over here with everybody's coats, and he's watching. He's watching. And he watches how Stephen takes this and says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And Saul takes it all in. There's no biblical proof to this. This is just my imagination going. You ready? That had to have had a major impact on Saul's life. There's no verse that says that. But just think of the impact that that had to have had. Your grandkids, your kids, your family, your neighbors, the waitress that knows that you're a Christian or claim to be a Christian, they're watching. You can make an impact in their life and you're not even directly talking to them. Man, Saul is watching all this take place. He's seeing Stephen getting just attacked left and right. Where are you tonight? You can make a difference where you're at. Look, Stephen was a servant. Though he was serving tables. He came and was bringing food. He was bringing drink. He was giving things to people. He was serving. He wasn't up here like Peter was. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't teaching. He was serving tables. But he made a difference. Don't think whatever task you're at tonight, wherever task you've got, God's given to you, don't think it's too small. Stephen, man, he's serving tables. Can I ask this question? I have this written in my notes and I kind of laughed at it. Are you a couch potato Christian tonight? Ask yourself that. Are you a couch potato Christian tonight? Or are you making a difference for the Lord? Are you doing something that is going to make a difference and an impact for eternity? Stephen, man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, he made a difference. He did something for God. And look, you may not be up here preaching and teaching week after week like Pastor is, and you may not be teaching a Sunday school class, but your life can show that God is real and God is true and God can save. What is your life showing? Can use and be used for it if you just let him use you. Father, I thank you for this.